Gracious God, settle us down now, our hearts and our minds. Open our spirits that we might hear your word, that it may guide our days and all of our ways. And may the meditations of my heart and yours as well be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There were several parables in the lesson that we just heard, and if I were to try to talk about all of them, we wouldn't have any time for our congregational meeting, and we wouldn't want to miss that. So I'm really going to center on two of them, the one of the priceless pearl and the treasure that's hidden in the ground. I would say they are short and unforgettable. That's how I would describe them. And it's too bad that we can't say that about sermons. Is that right? They may be unforgettable, but they're rarely short. I share this sermon with you about these parables with a bit of hesitance. I'm hesitant because of the number of words that I will need to use to try to share with you just a bit of what we find God trying to share with us in the words of Jesus. It takes quite a unique spirit to be able to compress into a brief picture the essence of something that is so grand and glorious. But Jesus is that spirit, and he does that for us. I find myself just to be a fumbling apprentice at times, stumbling my way along, still searching for the words to hint at the majesty of how God works and how God speaks to us. So let's talk about the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? What is it which Jesus so regularly speaks about? It is the very realm of God upon us, around us, and within us. It's a realm announced and implemented by the radical words and the very deeds of Jesus. It is not some distant reality. It is here and it is now. We know it by trusting Christ and finding an awesome intimacy with this one we call our Lord. We come to know it by taking a leap of faith, not of proof, but by trust and commitment. The theologian Frederick Buechner says this about the kingdom of God. Insofar as whether the kingdom is here or there, and now and then, God's kingly will is being done in various odd ways among us, even at this moment. So the kingdom has already come. But insofar as all the odd ways we do his will at this moment, that are at best half-baked and half-hearted, the kingdom is still a ways off. In and through Jesus, this kingdom comes and is proclaimed with great joy. It is the cause of a great, immense happiness because nothing in all of creation is worth even 1% of the gift of the kingdom. To explain the kingdom, Jesus uses some very credible situations. He said the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which a man discovered. He became so excited that he went off and sold everything he possessed so that he might have it. Well, this is not really a far-fetched story, although the idea of buried treasure is more of an old-world idea than it is something of our day-to-day. It's the stuff of pirates and things like that. Most of us don't go out and bury anything in the backyard like they used to do. I can remember when my grandmother died, my dad was going through many of her things, and he found money stashed in a variety of places. It was in her shoes, it was in sweater pockets, it was behind things. Maybe some of you do that same thing still, but rarely do we find things buried away. The problem is that sometimes we hide things and don't remember where we put them. How many can claim that one? So we don't hide things away like we used to. It's kind of a a thing that we don't do anymore. In the second parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a jewel merchant on the outlook for the most valuable of pearls. With great excitement, he discovered one of exceptional quality, and he rushed off and he sold everything that he had in order to possess it for himself. Again, this isn't really a far-fetched thing. In the days in which this parable was being told, pearls were of great value. Very, not so much monetarily, but they were of value to the people of that time, as much as gold is perhaps to us today. We don't see it that same way because pearls are often controlled by production, by those who buy and sell them. So we don't have that same thing. But for those to whom Jesus was speaking, the scenario wasn't rare. It wasn't unlikely. They would very easily understand. I want you to note, if you will, that the first man found his treasure by good fortune. Maybe it's what we would call a lucky strike, you know, like we often speak about gold miners. By some chance, he happened to be at the right place at the right time. And we are not told how he discovered it, whether he tripped upon it, whether it was sticking out of the ground and he saw it by sight. All we know is that he was very lucky and he comes upon it. And this was not some prospector, as I mentioned with the gold, who's been looking for treasure all of his life. This was not some guy who was out there with a metal detector. You've seen them, haven't you? Maybe, I'd be careful, maybe you do that. Who goes to those places where people venture, you know, going to ballparks or other parks of that nature, searching for something that they may find. No, this guy was just walking through the field and got lucky. If we are to apply this parable to a gospel message, then we have here a person who has not been searching for a very long time for faith. Out of the blue, something happens to him. The light shines. Divine truth becomes an enlivening, impulsing reality for him. To his own surprise, he's now able to proclaim where he hasn't before, the simple words, "I believe." The man in the second parable about the pearl of great value brings years of skill and knowledge to his quest. There is no surprise in this parable that he should come across the pearl of great value. In truth, we would kind of expect it to happen for someone who does it very diligently and for many years. He would be like a seasoned merchant who finally arrives at the goal he sought. He brings to it years of experience. He had been searching and searching and searching. Looking for pearls was his business. One could almost be tempted to say that this man deserved to find his heart's desire. He made his great find after devoting his life to this one single venture. And if he didn't deserve it, who did? But I would advise us to a bit of caution when we think about deserving. Did he deserve it? He was a searcher, that is true. But no doubt there are many other persons who have been searching just like him, for years and years and years, with their hearts set on a big find, but having no success. Even among those skilled and dedicated to their search, sometimes it's just good fortune that seems to find them, for some, but not for others. Well, so it is, I think, with the kingdom of heaven, the realm of God's precious love. The person who, without looking, unexpectedly finds the treasure of God's love in Jesus Christ. It does seem that he's extremely lucky when that happens. On the other hand, those who for years of spiritual devotion finally encounter the living truth and it sets them free. And they might say that they deserve it. But yet that's not so. No one deserves to find a pearl of great price. No one deserves to find a treasure hidden in the field. What we discover in this story is astonishment that comes upon them. It is an epiphany for them. But most of all, it is a blessing. In this whole matter of finding and trusting the kingdom of heaven, there is a puzzle, a mystery. Why do some people believe and others do not, even though some say they wish they could? Why the discrepancy between one person and another? Some examples. Two casual characters walk through the same field. One trips over a treasure and the other does not. Why that one? Two earnest searchers go looking for God's pearl of great price. One finds it. One does not. Why? Why do I have the gift of faith and my brother does not? Why do you have the joy of the kingdom of heaven and your friend does not? Why do we find ourselves caught up in the good news of the gospel when others who are kindly in their living and very diligent and very helpful don't seem to find a thing? It may raise a question. Is this fair that one does and one doesn't? It may not seem fair. But let me ask you, is life fair? I doubt we can answer that question in the positive. Nor can you measure the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, using the word or the term or the idea of fairness. In his parables, Jesus was intent on taking us beyond the notion of fairness to that of the awesome wonder that we call grace. Grace is much more than fairness, much more than justice. Grace is something that cannot be measured and really cannot be fully understood by our human minds. Again, a few examples. In the parable of the prodigal son, grace and love of the father goes beyond fairness, much, much to the annoyance of the older brother. Also recall the parable of the workers in the vineyard, where some toil from 9 o'clock and others from 10 o'clock and others from noon and then some from 2 o'clock and all receive the same pay at the end of the day. They reckon it as being unfair and they protest. But it's up to the giver of the gift who receives what. And so we see the grace and the love of God exceeds human notions of fairness. There is at the heart of belief and unbelief a mystery. It has puzzled Christians from the earliest of days. Why are some persons saved and other persons seem to perish in their sins? Why do some see the light, like Paul did along the road to Damascus, and others, like the high priest Caiaphas, remain in the dark? I don't know, my friends. I don't think anyone knows. I doubt that we're supposed to know. For sure, we shouldn't jump to any arrogant conclusions. We need to let this heavenly mystery rest with the inscrutable wisdom of God. Whatever you do, don't go making self-righteous judgments. Don't ever fall into the trap of thinking that we deserve our privileged position, that we deserve what we received because we are special. God loves all of us. Things are not as simple as we would like to make them. Some of you are as lucky as the man who found treasure in the field, although he did not go looking for it. Some of you are like the hard-working pearl merchant who found his heart's desire after many years. But that doesn't mean that some of you are favorites to God, nor that the hard-working pearl seekers are superior just to treasure hunters. There is a mystery. Let the mystery stay with God. Let God be the one who controls. And be certain, be 100% certain of this. God's love for unbelievers is just as full and rich as it is for those who believe. It is not God's hope, it is not God's wish that even one human being should perish because of their unbelief. With each passing year, I think two things become clearer to me. One is this: what we understand about the kingdom of heaven is only a minuscule fragment of the full picture. Just a small glimpse is all we have. And what little we do know and understand and trust is massively greater than anything else that we could know within our universe. I have one more question. Are the treasure and the pearl worth the cost? Are they worth what these gentlemen did? Maybe the sharp wedged point of the two tiny parables of the treasure and the pearls is in the following that was written by Bruce Puer. Listen to his words. Both of these men realized that other things would have to go. They sold everything else they had so that they might enter into the joy and the beauty and wealth that was now available to them. Nothing was worth more. No sacrifice was too great. Even if you strike it lucky as the man who, while crossing the field, stumbles upon a treasure, you still must make the costly decision to make it your own. If any forlorn or wistful souls that are here today imagine for one moment that they can hold the treasure or the pearl in their hands without being prepared to jettison everything else for it, then we are mistaken. To have that treasure, we must give up all. The kingdom of heaven must come first if we are ever to understand it and to be enfolded in its glory, that it might indwell in our joy, that may bless us with its beauty, and that the nature of its holy friendship might be created within us. Two small, unforgettable parables. A hidden treasure, a priceless pearl. Short and unforgettable. If need be, then, let me say this. Forget everything else that I may have said to you this morning, except these things, that the teller of the parables, this Jesus of Nazareth, who is indeed the pearl and the treasure, is offered to you once more this day as a gift from God, not because you're lucky, not because you're ambitious, but because God's grace is extended to you. Will you receive that gift once more? Thanks be to God.